is that often. But there's something that the papers forgot. Every time I read them, I know I feed them, but I know they're painting, but they can't leave a mark. Cause my friends don't read the papers, and they don't really care if we're awesome or not. So every time I read them, I know I feed them, but I know they wanna see me hang on the wall. You don't know me, don't you think that I get lonely? It gets dark inside my head. Check my pulse, and if I'm dead, you owe me. If you're lonely, don't you think you're on your own?
Welcome to Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. Back here for another exciting episode. I mean, we just can't stop here at Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. All year, we've been here very consistently, I would actually say. I'm very impressed at how consistent we are. Sam Anthony alongside Samuel Elizabeth Varenson, William Robert Camilleri, and Will, a little bit of shock on your face over there, so break it down for me.
You know, it's a Tuesday. I'm on my typical USCHO.com scrolling through the rankings.
As is tradition.
As is tradition. RMU update, we're still number 9, as you know, as we'll be.
As is tradition.
Until the end of time.
As is tradition.
However, there was a huge shakeup in the men's poll this week.
What?
I know. Like, there's numbers. Like, if you look, if you're ever on the website.
as Will is, casually. Yeah,
as I am, you know, just saved in my browser, it's fine. On the website, it'll show, like, the ranking for the week, but it also shows where that team was the week prior. And most of the time, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5 type deal, like where one team goes up.
Yeah, nobody was
another.
Really shaking things up, you know.
So I'll just go through the numbers this week. This is 1 through 20.
All right, I'm ready. Sam, are you ready?
3, 4, 2, 5, 1, 6, 8, 10, 11, 7, 12, 9, 18, 13, 14, 17, 15, 16, non-ranked 19. Like, there was a massive shakeup.
Well, yeah, so you know, Michigan beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was number 1.
Right, so they dropped from 1 to number 5. Denver dropped from 2 to 3. St. Cloud State went up from 3 to 1, and Cornell went from 4 to 2.
Yeah. And Denver dropped 1 to Colorado College, which is probably why, because that's probably a weak loss.
Yes, they have 5 votes currently.
Yeah, they lost 1-0. They got shut out. So, I mean, that'll drop you, you know, in the polls.
I mean, I think it's crazy. The lowest ranking team right now is Boston College, and they're number 20, and they have 114 points in whatever system they have set up that identifies what earns a team a point, which I don't know. Yeah.
And a comment on how weak of a year it's been in Atlantic Hockey: not a single team in the Atlantic Hockey Conference is getting votes. Not a single one.
I thought Mercyhurst was in Atlantic Hockey.
They are.
They have 10 votes.
Oh, I apologize. Well, they're the only ones getting votes.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, nobody. And Mercyhurst is now in first place.
Really?
After they swept Robert Morris. Whereas Robert Morris, on their 4-game losing streak, is now, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're in 7th place. Not only are they not going to get a first-round bye, but now they might be, like, playing around, like, bottom 4 seeds type stuff, which is just terrible because they're grouped right now with American International, Bentley, Niagara. Remember when Niagara started off really good and everyone was like, man, Niagara's good, and now they're not. They're all like, yeah, it's Niagara.
Yeah, I mean, I think our conference went through a bit of a shakeup from last week.
It did, and that's because, I mean, everything's so close, and it could go through a shakeup in this final week of the season as well. I mean, if Robert Morris wins both, they'll have 30 points.
Right,
so,
and Canisius Canisius was swept this weekend.
Yeah. So
didn't play. I don't know.
They were swept this weekend.
Wow.
So think about this. All right, let's say Canisius loses 2 more. Holy Cross loses 2 more. Robert Morris plays Air Force. So if they sweep Air Force, you could see Robert Morris jump all the way back up.
Right.
That's how crazy Atlantic Hockey is. But then ultimately also, if Robert Morris gets swept this weekend, they could drop all the way to the bottom besides Sacred Heart because they have the season sweep on Sacred Heart. But besides that, they could drop all the way to second to last place. They could literally go as high as second and as low as second to last. That is insane.
That's incredible.
On a weekend.
I think the latter of the two is going to be where they're going to be, if anything. If they just stay the same, I mean.
I would pick, you're right, I would bet on something in the middle.
Right, like a 1-1 or something like that.
Probably, I can't even say. I would have thought they would at least, you know, get a split with Mercyhurst this weekend.
Well, does OTL, no. Does that get a point?
It's wins, losses, ties. No points for overtime losses.
Really?
It's a regular loss.
That's harsh.
I don't know why NHL people. It's not just you. Everyone always goes, "Oh yeah, look, they have losses."
No, I knew it was ties. Like I know the college hockey format. I just didn't know if it followed the same procedure if they lost in overtime.
Yeah, you get a point for a tie, but you don't get a point for
that's
overtime.
That's stupid.
They're 8-8-1 at home this year.
Yeah, they're 500 overall. They're 4-4-1 in conference on the road. So.
But we're not looking at the road, we're looking at home.
Yeah, they are home this weekend, which I guess is better. Not a lot better. But it just, you know, think about it. 2 weeks ago, before they played RIT, everyone was talking about them potentially winning the conference, which the way the conference went, if they just won two of those games, you'd be in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They lost four in a row. I mean, and not really great game. The RIT games were bad. They weren't even close. Mm-hmm. And the Mercyhurst one, I mean, one was an overtime loss. But the others, I mean, 2-1, I mean, just kind of a nothing performance from the offense.
Yeah, like, we talked about last week how they could make a run. And they're still, you know, again, it's the college hockey playoffs. You never really know. But, like, I just don't see it.
Yeah. It looked like after the Three Rivers Classic, because after the Three Rivers Classic, they had, going into that RIT weekend, they had just one loss and a tie. Besides that, they'd won everything else. So they were 5-1-1, which it was like, whoa, all right,
yeah, like
here
a
we
hot
go.
Start, yeah.
You know, Robert Morris catches fire in the second half, you know, wins the conference, and then they lost four in a row. And, I mean, it wasn't even like, you can't even go, oh, like all of a sudden, you know, that momentum quickly went away. 2 weeks where they just watched, you know, and the worst part was three of those were home games. Of those were home.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even go, you know, oh, we were on the road. It was a long trip. No.
No.
Three of them, and the closest one to winning was the road game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just, yeah. Food for thought. I mean, it just, frankly, it's disappointing, mm-hmm. if you ask me. And if you ask me, Sam Farias, if Robert Morris deserves to go all the way to second, I'd say no. I'd say why. You know,
if it happens, I'll be happy because I'll still root for Robert Morris.
And they get
a
bye, and they'd be able to, you know, to me, they need a bye in the sense of regrouping,
mm-hmm.
resting, coming back, and you know, having the momentum to maybe make a run,
mm-hmm.
But also playing some weaker opponents.
That I feel like a lot of that rides with Francis Marat.
I think it rides with the defense because they've been letting up an inordinate amount of shots mm-hmm. on him.
I mean, that's – and defense and goaltending go hand in hand. But yeah. I feel like the games I've been at, he hasn't shown the same level of stuff. I don't even know how to describe it, that he showed last year.
But, you know, in his defense, and I'm not saying Francis
right.
Marat's had a good year by any means, but, man – I mean, just shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. And to me, you know, Rob Mann on defense, big presence they've been missing mm-hmm. all year. And, I mean, I'm going to look at the numbers here, but, I mean, just in terms of shot totals,
mm-hmm.
actually, this weekend, Mercyhurst only had 26 compared to Robert Morris's 39 in the first one. And then let's see the second game here.
And in the second game, there were a lot more shots from Mercyhurst.
29 shots. So Mercyhurst, but Marat did a good job there. I mean, he had two goals in each regulation, which is what you want from your goaltender, realistically. RIT, man, that that was rough. That was 34 shots. I mean, just they got outshot 34-19. I mean, and that's on both ends. That's on, mm-hmm. I mean, the offense with only 19 shots and then, you know, 34 shots on your goalie. And, I mean, that game was over early, so a lot of that was happening early. And, you know, same thing, you know, outshot only 29-28. But Robert Morris has been outshot in most of their games this season. Murat got pulled in both those RIT games, too. That's something important to note. So, yeah. I don't know. We could go and go, oh, let's give our predictions, da 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 da. But, like, in the end, like, I just want a yes or no. Can Robert Morris win the conference tournament?
No.
I don't think they can either. No. I don't have a lot of confidence in not, you know what? And you would agree with this, Will. Mm-hmm. Hockey's about getting hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And when they won back in 2015, they got hot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And right now,
they're
cold.
Yeah, you know, they really,
if anything, it screams first round exit.
Yeah, they really have to. I think they need to prove something.
They got to sweep this weekend.
This weekend. That's they need to come. Style. And they don't need to just sweep this weekend. They need to come out and dominate this weekend. Because, and it, I mean, it's a long shot because Air Force is good. Like, they're not coming out and playing Sacred Heart. You know?
Naturally.
So it's not going to be kind of one of those, like, this is expected type of wins. But they need to come out, and the defense needs to be as best. Like, they need to treat this as if it is a playoff game, a playoff series.
Yeah.
Because in reality, it is. You know, because everyone makes the playoffs, so this is getting a higher seed is just as important as winning a first series, because it could mean you don't have to play in a first series.
Well, if they win out this weekend, they will most likely not have to play in a first
series. Exactly.
So you're fighting for a bye week.
Right.
Which is huge. You know?
Even if they do choke up again. I mean, you remember, was it last year Lindenwood Women's made like a run, like kind of like a Cinderella run, but you know, they weren't expected, and then
we played them last year and the year before, and I think both times they won the first game, and then we won the next two.
No, I'm talking about playoffs.
Yeah. For women's hockey. Freshman year, they were the 6th seed, we were the 4th seed. And then last year, because they have that series at home before you go and play in Buffalo, right? Or is that just... Never mind.
No, they...
I had it. Sorry, I was confusing men's hockey with women's hockey and how the series are set up. It just so happened that we played Lindenwood in the last series of the game in 2 years in a row, and the seeding lined up that it made sense for it.
No,
it's a Tuesday
but
morning.
The Lindenwood Lady Tigers. You know, they were the lowest seed and made it.
They're the Lions, not the Tigers.
RIT is the Tigers.
Lions, Tigers, Bears. Oh my, who cares?
That's, wow, that's, that was so quick how he did that. That was awesome.
That's irrelevant to my story.
I mean, it's kind of relevant to your story. Do you want to be right?
No, go ahead.
I'm done. You go.
No,
please,
I'm done too.
Please share, Sam Ferentz. I'm going to move on to basketball if you're not going to share.
I want to talk about...
Lindenwood Lady Tigers.
Before
Sam Ferentz reporting for RMU, Will Sam and Sam in the Morning.
They were a Cinderella story. They came out of the lowest seed and made it to, what, the semifinals last year? So, I mean...
But it's not a big tournament. I don't know if I'd call it Cinderella.
It's 14.
Then continue on.
Yeah, it's really not... Wait, they're all in the semifinal. You mean the championship?
No.
Just continue. Go ahead.
I'm really sad for you.
No, they have the games beforehand.
Oh, you're right.
It's like four and six. Like that. I don't remember.
But they did it.
Yeah.
They did it. That's the important thing.
Yeah, so just real quick before we leave.
They
hockey.
Beat Mercyhurst.
Yeah, we swept. Women's hockey swept.
No. I think Lindenwood beat Mercyhurst.
Yeah, you're correct.
That was a big
deal.
Oh,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, RMU swept Mercyhurst this weekend, putting us into first place
they
officially.
They didn't sweep Mercyhurst.
They did not.
Really?
They lost the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, no. I could have sworn. No. I thought it was 3-2 and then 5-2.
Go to the website right now.
Well, just look at the...
Man, we're really struggling this morning.
This is... yeah.
Yeah, they lost the first one, won the second one. They were up a game on the Lakers. So by the effect of splitting it, they have sole possession in first place.
Yes.
So
I did not see that. I thought I did, but that must have been...
Sorry, you know what?
Else.
We all make mistakes, like the Lady Tiger, Sam Farron.
It was a tough week. That's I was on call nickname. This weekend. I didn't have a lot to do.
Well, you should have been looking up the results of Mercyhurst and RU.
Yeah, for someone that loves, you know, the rankings so much.
He just stares at the rankings. That's all he looks
That's all
at.
I do, yeah.
He just sits in a room alone, yep. locks himself in it, yep. and then calculates the rankings in his own head, which, by the way, Robert Morris is number one every time in Wilson.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I'm not actually a student here. I just report.
His name's not actually Will either. It's no. Kevin.
Yes. I'm 30.
And he's also the mascot on his weekends. all right. So I want to talk about RMU men's basketball and the collapse that has been ensuing. Because men's basketball is 9-7, as is tradition. we need a recording of that so we can just hit play.
In conference or overall?
9-7 in conference, which to reference on how bad they've been lately, they started 7-2 in conference.
Yeah, they've
4-0, 6-1, all really good. And then nothing. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the highlight is dropping to Central Connecticut, who is the second worst team in the Northeast Conference.
How? Yeah, what?
They were up like 10, 11 at half.
Well, that's what happened in the St. Francis PA game. They were up by 10 and lost their 10-point lead within, like, 5 minutes of the second half.
That's how it was against Wagner. We had, you know, is Robert Morris a first-half team?
I just don't – I don't know, though, because, like, they – I mean, in the games they've won, they've played a full game, I will say. In the games they've lost, you're right. Or, honestly, I wouldn't say that because look at that St. Francis game. How they went down so much early, and then they tried to come back, but it was already too late. And that's been a lot of the cases sometimes, too, is like, to me, it's just the fact that they can't play a full game, whether it's the first half, whether it's the second half. There's something missing. And to me, part of that's not on Andy Toole. Part of that's on the guys, you know, the players that are out there and just knowing what you have to do. Because there's no way that at this point of the season you don't have a game plan and you don't know how to play a full game. It just comes down to, like, that effort. And I just sometimes I feel like, you know, when Robert Morris hustles, they're fighting for every ball, they look really good. I mean, to me, again, the end of that St. Francis game, they were fighting for everything. And all of a sudden, you know, it looked like they were going to be able to come back. But it was already too late because they had dogged early and St. Francis took advantage of that. So, to me... That's the biggest issue. And, you know, again, when the shots aren't falling, you know, all of a sudden they go back into this hole. And really all they got to do is keep playing physical, keep playing defense. They're a good defense. They know how to stop these teams. But it's just you never see a full game.
We are a week away from the NEC tournament.
I know. February 28th is the first game. And there's two games this weekend. So we got Thursday at Mount St. Mary's and Saturday at St. Francis. So those are big games. I mean, huge in terms of you got to win at least one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to win at least one. Or you're not – I mean, Robert Morris still has a chance to get a home game. If they beat both these teams, they will most definitely get a home game. If they lose both of them, they will most assuredly – get the 7th seed and have to go play who? Like Mount St. Mary's in the first round in Mount St. Mary's, which never ends well for Robert Morris.
What seed are we currently?
6. No, 5.
What's our potential either way?
After this the weekend? Potential is to jump all the way up to second place because ahead of them is St. Francis, Mount St. Mary's, and St. Francis, Brooklyn by one game. Or I'm sorry, the highest would technically be second place if St. Francis loses out this weekend. Mm. The lowest they could drop is 7th, below LIU Brooklyn and Fairleigh Dickinson.
Okay. So we have a playoff spot.
Yes, they are clinched. The only team that has not clinched yet is Central Connecticut, because technically Sacred Heart could still jump them, but they won't. But, you know, Central Connecticut kept their playoff hopes alive because, you know, they beat Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
Tell me how you really feel.
And then, you know what? Also, like, I want you to look at this. So, the teams that are really good in home court, and this is all the playoff teams, right? I'm going to list off all the playoff teams besides Robert Morris's home record. 14-0, 10-2, 9-2, 10-3, 8-4, 7-4, 7-3. And that is even 6-10 in conference. Central Connecticut is 7-3 at home. Robert Morris at home, 6-6.
How much do you think that is not playing at the Sewell Center?
I don't think it's, because it's always been that way. I mean, even last year, even the year before that, it's this idea of that they just don't play, whether it's home or away, they don't play that well. And to me, that's a big problem. Because you know what? If you go 8-8 on the road, you should be a pretty good team. Because that's assuming, hey, you're going to perform better at home. They've done the same. And, I mean, that's insane to me. And, you know, they could, you're right, they could lose both road games this weekend and go to 8-10. But still, the fact that you're a playoff team, you're a team that started so well in conference, and you're going to end 6-6 at home. I mean, that's crazy.
I didn't realize how close they actually were to the second seed. I thought they were two games back of
the
group.
Yeah, I mean, it was a four-way tie going into this Saturday game, and they all won, and Robert Morris dropped. Okay. So, I mean, this conference, and you know, it's the NEC, so that's what's great about it, but it's tight.
Yeah.
You know, again, Robert Morris could potentially drop as far as seventh place, but then climb as high as second place, which is actually identical to men's hockey, where you could jump as second highest and or drop to second lowest in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Whereas both, women's basketball secured the second seed.
One seed. St. Francis lost this weekend, if you didn't
really
see that.
Really?
Sacred Heart beat them.
Yeah, Sacred Heart.
And who did we beat last night? Sacred Heart. That game got a little scary, though. It started off big lead, and then Sacred Heart started to climb back. But we'll get to that later. But, yeah, I mean, you could come into next week with, you know, men's hockey playoffs and men's basketball NEC tournament starting. You're feeling great. You know, both your teams could be like a third seed and like you're getting a home game and, you know, you take it from there. Or it could be, oh, another disappointing weekend. Now we're a low seed, you know, season's over. To me, if I'm Schooley and Tool, man, you're right. Like you said, this is a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
This is everything. If you want to go win the conference in both, you need to win out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That is not even a question.
No.
That you need to win out this weekend.
And both teams, I mean, really, all four, the two men's teams are in the same spot and two women's teams are in the same spot, because women's basketball and women's hockey are both in first over the team that they have split a series with. Because I believe we split the first series with Mercyhurst as well. Either that or we swept
them. We split the first series with Mercyhurst.
Yeah. So we're 2-2 against them, and women's basketball 1-1 with St. Francis.
Well, the nice thing for Robert Morris is I believe the tiebreaker, and I could be wrong, but I'm very confident the tiebreaker's overall record. So right now, if everyone stays the same, Robert Morris locks that one.
Mm-hmm. And so there, I'm not as concerned with them. I have more confidence in both of those two women's teams right now, at least, than I do with both of our men's teams. Right. And I think it's a big proving weekend for both men's teams. If hockey can come out and have a dominant weekend and show that they are capable of winning this conference, then I think we could go deep in the playoffs. If men's basketball goes, if they beat Mount St. Mary's at Mount St. Mary's, I think that is a statement, and I think it shows that we have the capability of going deep in that conference tournament.
All right. So on a side note, I'm taking a look at the tiebreaker procedure for basketball.
Okay.
So In the event of a two-way tie in the standings, the following tiebreaker system shall be used in order until the tie is broken. The winning percentage of each team in head-to-head competition, so split, right. Tie. Winning percentage of each team versus the first team, first place team, or their composite winning percentage against teams tying for first place. So I'm guessing that's moot, because I'm sure that's a tiebreaker for another spot.
Mm-hmm.
Winning percentage of each team versus the second place team, or the composite winning percentage against any team tying for second place. Still moot. This process continues to the winning percentage versus the third place team, the fourth place team. All right. So, you would take a look at the third place team in the NEC.
Mm-hmm. Which is,
hold on, I have to go back. Bryant,
who we have not lost to.
I believe we've swept Bryant. And I think they play Bryant one more time, actually.
Is that this weekend?
It is this upcoming weekend. And both Robert Morris and St. Francis play them this weekend.
Right, that makes sense because they're very close.
So both of them have beaten Bryant the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are they'll beat them the second time.
Mm-hmm. Which means you move to the fourth team.
Which is St. Francis Brooklyn.
Who we are 1-1 against.
So that is where...
That's the tough.
The deal breaker. That would be the deal breaker.
Has St. Francis PA swept them?
Yep, they have. So the question is, can St. Francis Brooklyn drop? And the answer is yes. St. Francis Brooklyn can drop all the way to ninth place.
Nice.
So
that's what we're hoping for.
So you have to look at the two teams that have beat St. Francis, which is Robert Morris and...
Sacred Heart.
So... For Robert Morris to win the conference,
mm-hmm.
they need Sacred Heart to be higher than St. Francis Brooklyn.
Okay.
So isn't that intriguing? You're like, you have to root for another side of the standings.
Yeah.
So
Sacred Heart, we don't has play one more game over the St. Francis Brooklyn Terriers. Did I say the right mascot?
So it's a game and a half, if I'm correct, because they have one less. Loss or one less win than St. Francis Brooklyn, but they have two more losses, so that'd be a game and a half because they've played one more game than St. Francis Brooklyn. So let's look at St. Francis Brooklyn's schedule because I want to see is there a chance? And they play Sacred Heart on the 24th, so that's an interesting one. Sacred Heart really needs that win for Robert Morris, and then they play Fairleigh Dickinson, CCSU, and Bryant. And CCSU and Bryant aren't very good. So, realistically, you would Colonials fans would need St. Francis Brooklyn to lose out.
Well, I mean, it could go either way because you see the middle of the pack there. The NEC is pretty
tight. You know what? You're right. In terms of saying anything can happen, especially because beyond Robert Morris and St. Francis, like, it's pretty, there's a lot of parity between the rest of the teams, besides mm-hmm. Wagner. Wagner's just really bad, and they've lost four in a row. So I would, you can pretty much count them out. Either way, the way that the home court advantage works in the NEC playoffs is it's two pods. It's the first seed and the second seed. So mm-hmm. the first seed hosts one half of the bracket, and the second seed hosts the other half. And what it comes down to is... the championship game.
And they're not reseeding this year, I believe. So it's if you're in that pod, you're in that pod. Like, yeah. I know in years past we've ended up playing different teams because, like...
Based on who's won.
If you're the...
One, you're always going to play the lowest seed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, and that's how it used to be. Now that's not how it is.
Yeah. No, so, it's just the pods.
Stupid.
I mean, it's just like... I mean, you stick where it
there
is.
There are a lot of things that... I feel like we disagree with on the rules of the conferences our sports are in.
Yeah. But
now I don't mean to put a dapper on things, but I like the bracketologies mm-hmm. of sports, and ESPN bracketologies updated yesterday don't have Robert Morris in the bracket.
And to me, it's not very telling. To me, it's just wherever the NEC is, which I saw that St. Francis is playing UConn. Correct. So that's not good.
No.
But to me, that's just what you have to take it as is there, because what they do for teams like the NEC is they just stick whoever's at the top in. And so St. Francis, the most recent winner against Robert Morris, Nothing's really changed beyond that. So St. Francis is just going to get stuck in there. And technically, they have the tiebreaker right now. So technically, well, you would stick St. Francis.
I thought one of the first things was overall percentage.
Overall head-to-head. So that's against each other.
Okay. I was going to say, because we have a higher overall winning percentage at 760, and they have 654.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't do, like, overall record and then, like, differential.
I mean, I think that would make sense maybe for bigger conferences.
But because there's so much parity.
Well, there's parity, and you think about, like, who are the teams people from NEC are playing?
Oh, you know what? That's fair.
Like,
Francis probably played tougher teams.
Right, and Bryant is 8-6, number 3 in our conference, 9-16 overall. Yeah. They probably played a bunch of bigger teams up in the Northeast. Like, I mean, not UConn, but like teams like UConn who are going to absolutely obliterate them, but it's good to have games against. So I understand if this were like the Big Ten, I could understand using non-conference like overall schedule, overall record as a tiebreaker, but it makes sense not to have it for conferences like
you're
the
fair because like look at like St. Francis, they played Toledo, they played Cincinnati, which they beat Cincinnati, by the way, fun fact. They played Youngstown State, which is another good team they beat. Also, they beat Gonzaga, or no, I'm sorry, they played Gonzaga, and they played Boise State. So yeah, you're right. They're playing really good teams.
But we played Youngstown State and beat them.
We whooped Youngstown State.
But we also played Michigan State.
Yeah, which was not a good one.
And like, I mean, you look at CCSU is kind of in the same boat where they're 6-8 in conference, 6-19 overall.
Yeah.
And so like, I feel like if it was decided by overall record, it would have to be more than that because you'd have to almost come up with a power rankings type of deal where you rank strength of schedule.
Yeah. So
I understand why it is the way it is.
You know how we were looking for that St. Francis Brooklyn versus Sacred Heart matchup?
Mm-hmm.
That's this week, Saturday.
Saturday. What time?
1:00.
Everyone tune in. NEC front row.
Well, Robert Morris is also at Bryant. Here are the matchups this week. Mount St.
Everyone has to tune in everywhere. Just watch a lot of women's basketball.
Everywhere. Watch everything.
Mount St. Mary's at Wagner. Robert Morris at Bryant.
Robert Morris wins.
St. Francis U at Central Connecticut.
St. Francis U wins.
St. Francis Brooklyn
at
Sacred Heart.
That would be an upset.
Sacred Heart wins.
LIU Brooklyn at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson wins. Something important to note, guys, and I just want to keep like harping home on this.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Morris is ranked 9th in the NCAA in defense. You know who's just barely ahead of them at 8?
Who?
UConn.
Really?
So think about that. Think about the company you're with. Granted, UConn is playing significantly better teams.
Hey, we played Michigan State. Be quiet.
They put 100 points on us. For reference, I think it was either 2 years ago, we put up 100 on Point Park. So.
I will say,
mm-hmm.
being at that Michigan State game, Robert Morris played a really good first half. Bad first quarter, good second quarter, good third quarter, really bad fourth quarter. Really bad fourth quarter. So to me, and that was because it was the first game of the year, mm-hmm. but I was very satisfied with how they performed for their first game of the year, especially coming with all these new pieces. That was the big thing. When it comes down to it in those big games, it's going to come down to, you know, who is going to be able to stay composed in high-pressure moments. That's always been Hinoki Gamatsu's mm-hmm. weakness. Despite the fact that she's the 21st best three-point shooter in the country based on percentage.
Mm.
You know where Jessica Kovac is in the top 50? She's not. She's not in the top 50.
Really?
Yeah. So for the greatest shooter, she gets a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm. I could take a lot of shots. Doesn't make me good at basketball.
At like, Jessica Kovac. I don't like Jessica Kovac in case anyone cares.
Russell Westbrook, he takes like 40 shots a game but only makes, 15 of them.
Or, you know what, my favorite guy, Isaiah Still.
Oh, boy. Wasn't there one night he went like, it was either 1-for-7 or 1-for-17.
I think it was 1-for-17.
I remember that game because we just like, that was the first game that whenever he was past the ball, we'd see him look towards the net and collectively there was like 4 of us that would all yell, no. And then he'd shoot and it would either go off the backboard and miss, or it would bounce off the rim, or it would like do something, or he would airball it, and we'd be like, "Well, that was expected."
As is tradition.
I have a question about the Who's home in the Sacred Heart St. Francis game?
I believe
on Saturday.
It's Sacred Heart.
No, St. Francis and Sacred Heart don't play.
St. Francis, Brooklyn, and Sacred Heart do.
Sacred Heart.
Really? Okay. So that makes it even more interesting because St. Francis, Brooklyn is 4-10 on the road.
Ooh. Which is, again, favorable for Robert Morris.
Yes.
So,
and granted, Sacred Heart is 5-6 at home, but it's a lot better than 4-10.
Mm-hmm.
RMU and St. Francis are the only teams to be over 500, both home and away. Which is
when incredible. You're good, you're good.
I mean, yeah, it just... I'll tell you, I give a lot of credit to Coach B. I think he's done a phenomenal job coaching this year. I think that the reason they'll win the NEC tournament this year is because of him. I think he knows how to coach.
I agree.
Bold prediction.
I think he could go, honestly, just following the team the last 2 years and you know, getting to have a word with Coach B at the end of every game. The way he coaches, I think he could go greater places than Robert Morris. I really do. Not just because he knows how to operate, not just in the mindset of how to operate basketball wise, but how to operate as like a person. You know, to me, I think that's where Tool always falls short. Is in the end, the players ultimately don't like him, and they may think Coach B's weird, but they respect the hell out of him. So, that's just my thought.
Do you think he leaves though?
No,
I don't think
he leaves
ever.
Maybe down the line if he got a really good offer. I mean, come on, realistically, let's say like Michigan State went up and they were like, "We want you to coach our basketball team." Would you say no?
No.
Yeah. So, you know, food for thought. But all right, we have 4 minutes left. We probably should talk about women's hockey.
Yes. I'm fine with that.
Will, you lead us here. What do you take it in the direction you want to take it?
Let me head back to my favorite site I left for the NEC
website. You know, I just wanted them to get to the site one more time.
Yeah. So this weekend, we are at Syracuse to close out the regular season. I still think it's an important series because Mercyhurst is at RIT. And would you like to know RIT's record in conference? 1-17.
Woo!
So chances are Mercyhurst is going to sweep this weekend. And if we don't sweep, that means we are tied for first. I think we get the tiebreaker in this instance because we have a better overall record. I think that's how the CHA...
I like that.
I don't know. So if our fact checker, Mr. Ferentz, would like to see what the
tiebreaker... I'm glad that you adopted the role of fact checker. Sam Lady Tiger Ferentz.
CHA? Yeah, CHA. Because I really don't know. Interesting, though, I was scrolling through the stats. The two Mercyhurst goaltenders are the ranked number 1 and 2 in our conference. But they've split time. Elijah Milton Price is the only one that has played in every single game. Every single conference game. And is 12-3-3. Overall, which, I mean, granted her save percentage is .935, which is still great, but like that's an entire season. She's the only one over 1,000 anywhere close to over 1,000 minutes. Abby Miller of Syracuse is the next closest with 909, but I mean, I know we're biased because we go here and I think all three of us truly love this team.
You're right. I love women's basketball more, but
But you have a special place in your heart for women's hockey.
Yeah,
I know,
sick.
Right? Yeah, and you know, there's just so many things like the top of scoring. We have of the top, I think 10. We have 4, the top 2, and we have both. There are 2 defensemen on the top scoring list, and we have both of them. In Kirsten Welsh and Maggie Legue, both of which are juniors. Then we have J.C. Gebhard and Brittany Howard, which, I mean, of course, like it makes sense for them to be on there. This, like, everyone that is on these, like the top stats producing lists, it's all RMU, Mercyhurst, throw in Syracuse sometimes, throw in Penn State sometimes. Like, the number one goal scorer right now is a freshman from Penn State with 11 goals in 18 games.
So, I mean, realistically, Robert Morris should, you know, not only get the regular season, but they need to go, they should go and win the conference.
Yes. I don't know if they're going to, who they'll get in the tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Wisconsin, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, just because kind of the same lines with women's basketball.
Wisconsin's not as dominant as they were
either. No, they're not. I mean, they're still number one in the country, but it's not the same. So I would much rather play like a Clarkson or a Boston College.
I think they can beat a Clarkson. I think they could. I'd be very intrigued if they got a matchup with Colgate, the team they tied.
That's true. Colgate is number four.
Oh, they dropped to four now.
Yeah, yeah, Boston College is three. I do think it would be an interesting game. RMU is still on track. If we sweep this weekend, we are a 20 win team.
So, all right. So, final thoughts. All right. Percent chance that Robert Morris wins an NCAA tournament game.
Out of all four teams?
No, percent women's hockey wins women's an NCAA hockey. Tournament game. They're I'll the only one that first. Has a chance. I'll go first. 10%.
Okay.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, Mr. Axi, living in percentages.
20% chance.
I like it.
Yeah, I'd say between a 15 and 20%.
I knew he was going to say 15. He was going to pick right in the middle.
Right in the middle. But I'm closer to Sam Ferentz than I am to Sam Anthony on this one. I do think it depends on the team though, because I think.
Like, I mean, you get Wisconsin, it drops lower, but you get like a BC or a Clarkson, I think it jumps to like a 30-40% chance.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd say 30.
We've tied both Clarkson and Colgate in the past 2 years, yep. So they are able to hang with them.
And they have the experience. They've been there now.
Right.
To me, I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to play exceptionally well, though.
They have to play a perfect game.
Yeah.
Them at their highest level can beat a nationally ranked team, but that's them at their highest play.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we've seen highs and lows with number six Ohio State, but it's hockey, and any given game on any given day. So,
and that's a good final thought, Will. Any given game on any given day, you know, that's always what I talk about with your mom.
Here's an any given thing on any given day. The United States are on pace to hit their lowest medal count since 1998.
Something important to note, but women's hockey playing in the gold medal game against Canada.
USA,
so.
Canada.
Hey, and men's hockey actually.
They beat Slovakia last night to get into the quarterfinals.
Yep,
playing the Czech Republic.
So keep watching the Olympics, guys.
Thanks, hey. Gary Bettman, for ruining men's hockey in the Olympics.
Curling's on, so.
Gosh, I'm so bitter. Not even about that, just in life. I'm a bitter person.
USA.
Why you gotta be so bitter? All right, well, we got to play one more song USA. To close out.
Oh, boy.
USA. USA.
Here we go. USA. All right. Well, on that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off. Goodbye. I love you, Mrs. Ferentz.
This is Sam Ferentz, actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom. And go USA.
This is Will Camilleri signing off. Don't be bitter. Okay. We have postseason coming up. In a few weeks' time. Spring break's in 2 weeks.
Push through.
It's 72 degrees out today.
Go
I'm
birds.
Wearing shorts.
Go birds.
You
go
know what?
Colonials.
I'm going to mute you if you keep saying go birds.
Go birds.
Goodbye, everyone.